I
Okay,
see.
who are we waiting for? It's the new tile.
There was an email from Brendan, I thought, a press release about doses being available still.
Yeah, there is, and Everett's the only one that needs it, and he said he's just logged on, so he knows about it.
Oh, no. You just sent an
You're muted, Annalisa.
update. They're closed. It's out.
Oh, is it a done? Okay,
There
they're
were
all done.
doses at 5:47, but as of 6:01, there aren't any more.
Oh. Hard. We're all so anxious to be vaccinated.
Yeah, I know. Yep, that's what I just saw a post from another person. Don't use the zip code.
Yeah.
Put in San Juan under location instead.
I used zip code. I had to help someone with
And it
it.
worked.
I used zip code, it worked, but you've got to scroll through. There's two pages of search results, and San Juan's on the second page, and nothing to check. The second page of list of results. It's not very intuitive.
Frustrating. We'll get there.
Yeah.
It's amazing though that the appointments lasted almost an hour. That's probably a record.
Well, that was a lot of vaccines. I mean, 800? No. Is that right? No. 600? How many did we
1400.
get?
I think that's 1400, right?
It was a
No, but I
thousand.
mean, like, just for San Juan, they've divided, we're getting a portion. Orcas is getting a portion, and Lopez is getting a portion of those vaccines.
I think it was 950 for San Juan Island, plus the ones the Department of Health was already getting. So there's quite a few doses for our island.
Well, it's exciting to know that it's growing every week and more people are getting vaccinated, and that the National Guard is coming. That's a wonderful thing.
I think we need
Exciting.
to put out the word to for everybody to bake brownies and cookies and for treats for our National Guard coming.
Nice. It looks like we're all here. Can we reconvene our meeting?
Yes.
So we're back from our executive session, and we just have our special meeting business. The first topic here is Resolution 21-541, and it is regarding sending a student to paramedic school. And this is something that the agency does to build up our program and our staffing for our community.
Do you want me to introduce the resolution, or how do you want to approach this?
Sure. I mean, you and I have discussed this quite a lot. We understand that this is a resolution for San Juan Island Emergency Medical Services to send a student to paramedic school. We understand what it should be budgeted for. We need to amend our budget to reflect that. And yes, I suppose, Nathan, if you'd like to speak to it, that's fine.
Okay.
I'm ready to call for a vote. So if you want to add anything, that's fine.
We did discuss this a couple weeks ago quite a bit, didn't we?
We
At the
did.
meeting? Okay.
Yeah, this was just the final draft of the, yeah, we talked about who's going to get more details. So,
yeah.
How about I'm going to move that we adopt Resolution 21-541, Resolution of San Juan Island Emergency Medical Services to send a student to paramedic school.
And I'll second that.
There any discussion?
I just think it's a fabulous idea, and I just think it's great to support those who, one of our EMTs who would like to move forward as a paramedic. I think this is very exciting.
A great investment. We have the we have the money available in our budget to invest in the future of the agency. I think, I'm fully in support. This moves us closer to, the concept of having a fifth paramedic that could cover extra shifts.
And I should say one of the aspects of this resolution that I found appealing was that it is conditioned upon bringing the paramedics into the station and operating out of the station, which increases the need then for us to have that flexibility with an additional paramedic to help out at that point as well, to cover the shifts as we become accustomed to doing, I think, in our community. So it makes sense to me that we can do that. This will provide greater flexibility going forward. And as we know, we're at a time where we're exploring different possibilities with the EMS, including integration, if that ends up working out, or other possibilities as well. And this, I think, will provide us flexibility in exploring those options, in addition to providing flexibility and providing the excellent medical service that our EMS does today.
Exactly.
I think it's a really important step. And if we can bring the medics into the station, we'll need to do this. It means a lot of planning ahead. That student, this is the one thing I got wrong in my report to you on this, is that student is likely not ready to fill shifts on their own until November or December, not September of 2022. So there's a long lead time on this. So it requires planning and Medic One, the Medic One Foundation, Harborview, they need to accept our student, and then we've got there's a lot to be worked out. So what this does is it unlocks funding to work out all of those things. It makes it a real option for me to run down and make happen. So fingers crossed.
I think that's all the more reason to get on with it. And I think that shows you really how important a step it is, that kind of a lead time. And I think that's why we need to get started.
Great. Is there any further comment? Any further discussion? Okay, in that case, I'll call for a vote and approval of Resolution 21-541 to send a student to paramedic school. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. That passes unanimously. It's exciting.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And thanks for the report on this too, Nathan. That's great.
Yes, you are welcome. I know.
Much reading. I meant that. I'm serious.
Okay.
I definitely appreciate it. By the way, I know it wasn't a huge conversation we just had here. It wasn't that lengthy, but there's a lot of information that we've received and been able to digest as part of this. Very, very helpful to justify this approach.
Yeah.
I know I can be long-winded, but I think I've analyzed it pretty comprehensively, and I appreciate your support.
Yeah, and I think it's great too. You have the support of your paramedic staff too in this move as well. It shows that we're heading in the right direction as a whole. So
I feel comfortable enough with where I'm at with them to feel confident to propose this measure. I wouldn't waste your time otherwise, or mine for that matter. Doesn't mean it's a done deal, but I feel pretty confident.
Right. Okay, so the next item on our agenda is the collective bargaining agreement between the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 and Local 3219, the International Association of Firefighters San Juan Island Bargaining Unit. So I'm pleased that we are at this point. I appreciate everyone's work to getting here. And I believe we've all had time to review this. Do we have any discussion? We just need to move to adopt this. If there's, oh, Trish, you're muted.
I would move to adopt the collective bargaining agreement.
I would second.
Okay, is there any discussion? No, okay, I think we're all pleased. In that case, all in favor?
Aye.
The CBA passes unanimously. Thank you, everyone, for your hard work on this. We're pleased to welcome our staff EMTs into the unit. And moving on, this is an impressively expeditious meeting. Thank you, everyone. our next topic is the staffing needs and the superintendent role. And, you know, this is obviously related to our superintendent, Pamela Hutchins, and her retirement after 16 years of service to the district. These are some, you know, big shoes to fill, and we've really tried to be intentional here about our plan going forward. We want to hire in a way that is consistent with what, you know, what our strategic plan was and our path going forward and what we discussed in August. The goal here was, in Trish and I have been working with Nathan to create job descriptions with the intention that those job descriptions are really going to meet the needs of the district. And we are hiring in mind for a role that is an administrative support role. That will be the position that will be open with the intention to make Mr. Butler our superintendent upon Superintendent Hutchins' retirement. And I do hope you all had some time to review the combined superintendent and MES administrator just a list of detailing at least the history and what we're anticipating moving forward. And I just was wanting to hear if you felt these job descriptions fit or the needs of the district. Trish, do you have anything to add to my opening there?
Well, I'm off of mute, so that's good. I just feel like the best candidate for the superintendent role with Pam's departure would be Nathan. He's been with the district for 3 years. He's been put into a leadership role with EMS and is excelling at that. And I can't imagine at this point anyone other than Nathan being our superintendent when Pam retires. So, and of course, at this point in time, Nathan is our interim EMS administrator or acting administrator at this time. And so if we move forward with integration, we'll still have Nathan as our EMS administrator and superintendent. And if something happens and we are not moving forward with integration, then we will hire a chief and Nathan will be our superintendent. So we can develop a job description, which would be very much, and I would imagine, similar to the job description and that we had with Pam last August, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so I'm pleased. I think, you know, we're very lucky to have the talent that we do and with Mr. Butler. And yes. And then I think having that support person, and I think Nathan knows he's got some things laid out. Pam's given us some good feedback. And, you know, I would trust, since Nathan is in an executive role, that this now will be his purview to hire the assistant that he needs and has laid out, you know, what the requirements will be. And so can put that into a job description and hire who he needs.
Thank you. Do you have any comments from our other commissioners?
Yeah, I want to thank Mr. Butler and Ms. Hutchins and others who put together the document that explained where we have been in terms of our leadership at the hospital district over the last year, really, right? There was kind of that, there was a period where it showed what happened, where we were pre-August, and then August to today, or into, I guess, the end of March, and then beyond that. And I think that was very helpful for understanding what roles we've had, what duties have been associated with those roles, in a general way anyway, like helped with leadership stuff was one of the quotes, I guess, for Mr. Butler's work. And so that has helped formulate where we want to go going forward as well. This is, I think, giving us some background that is really necessary for us to be able to sort that out in a way that maybe we haven't been quite as, well, I don't think that we've done that exactly to date, and this is really important going forward. I support this approach, absolutely. I do have a question. There are some staffers who would continue to play roles, and those roles might shift just a little bit as part of that approach going forward starting in April. And I'm thinking of people who currently spend a fair amount of time with EMS. Have they been contacted about this? I have another question too. Have they been contacted about this approach, and are they supportive as well?
So the one EMS employee impacted by that is Peggy Long. Peggy's been filling the de facto role of board recording secretary. Additionally, we have her doing warrants for Pam. Pam approves them. Peggy submits them. We would be kind of consolidating. The problem is she's being asked to fill, quite a few roles that were mine and Pam's, and she can only has 20 hours a week to give to that. So in many ways, this is a relief for her. And I can't speak for her, but she was fine with it when I talked to her about it. We'd basically be taking the responsibility to do warrants away from her. She shed many tears about that. No, not really. But we would allow her to focus more on public information officer and board recording secretary work. It allows her to have a little more specificity to what she does. And since she is an outreach assistant for San Juan Island EMS, it fits really nicely with that role, their outreach roles. Because actually, it's buttoned up pretty nice from that respect. And then this new hire would handle the financial side of things for the hospital district, non-EMS side of things. It's a little neater. I think it gives Peggy a little more focus in her job responsibilities, which will enable her to be more successful. But frankly, Peggy's easy. She's never difficult. She basically is happy to do whatever to help make her agency successful. I did talk to her about it. That's the bottom line. I think it's likely that we would have the hospital district reimburse San Juan Island EMS something time. But we haven't quite worked that out. It's conceptual right now. And if the board approves the approach, then, we'll figure out those fine details. Which they're significant, but they're not hard to work out. We just have to do it and present something to you later on. And of course, you're welcome to ask her if you like. She's on. I don't know. Peggy, do you want to say something?
I'm happy to fill in wherever I'm needed. Half of my time is devoted to the hospital district, and then, as you know, the other half of my time is devoted working as Lainey's assistant, which I enjoy both roles. So, my granddaughter's running in the room here. But anyway, I enjoy both roles. So whatever I can do to support the hospital district would be great. But yeah, I probably wouldn't shed any tears about turning over the warrants. So,
anyway. Thank you, Peggy.
Thank you, Peggy.
Of course, Logan waited just until she hasn't been in here for a while, and she knew when I turned my microphone off, so she came running in. So, sorry about that.
They have that sense. They know. Okay, great. Thank you so much, Peggy. Appreciate it. And yeah, we've hypothesized about reimbursing EMS for the hours that have been worked in the interest of the public hospital district, and we do need to start accounting for that.
I do have a question about who would oversee the HRSA grants. Is it you, Nathan, or where would that go? Because that is, it is something right now, I think, especially to track as it, as the hiring's happening and the hours are getting decided and the work is still getting decided and all that.
And so I spoke with Pam a little bit about that today, and you were going to follow up on that, Pam. Did you?
Yeah, I have a call in with the HRSA grant administrator, because for both the planning grant and the care coordination grant, the fiscal agent is the hospital district, and the title of that fiscal coordinator is within the hospital district. So I'm trying to find out, like, if the person to be formally assigned has to be formally assigned to that, has to work for the hospital district. But then, of course, the duties, other duties, the financial part, you could assign. I think y'all have been looking at our CBA for that. But our grant, it also is, that person is part of the network members. And so that they have to fulfill roles for that also. So I would think, you know, you'd want at least somebody doing local for local continuity, and not just hand it all over to the CPA. But you know, that's your decision. But legally, though, I'm checking to see what the parameters are. I know I have to do a whole report and get prior approval for who takes on that role and what's going to happen. So you know, when I know more, I can fill you in.
Thank you.
Is it all right if I comment on that too?
Of course.
Yeah, I talked to our accounting firm about this, and they do this all the time. They can do the financial aspect of the grant, but they wouldn't be the formal financial manager for the grant. That would need to be me or designee, whomever we hire. Okay. So what they would do is, the main thing that has to be changed is the grant has to allow payment to a third party, which I don't think it currently does. They say they've done this many times. You just change, it's just a change request, and it allows them to disperse, HRSA to disperse money to the accountancy firm for that work. But that's just the financial tracking, you know, the releasing of money to people. The component that involves our responsibility to provide oversight and involvement in the HRSA grants would probably need to be me. And in that regard, the timing of this isn't terribly convenient. It would have been more convenient to make this change in the fall or something, but you know, Pam has her reasons for doing what she's doing, and I'm entirely supportive and want her to be where she needs to be in her life. But it's certainly not super convenient. Because I am pretty busy, but I think if I get good help, it can be done. We don't play a large role in that grant, but we certainly need to be present. I mean, the expertise for that grant comes from Evan, and he's the one that needs to be driving that, and then the hub care coordinator, which is Kyle Davies. So it's important we have a representative involved who has say and is tracking the project. But we need to keep in mind we're not front and center on this grant.
Right, except
yeah, that's grant too.
Yeah, there's another grant too. I feel a little bit like right now, until it's a smooth working relationship between not just Kyle and Evan, but Beth Williams-Giger too. And it has been, you know, communication, there's been some communication snafus, just mostly probably because we're also on Zoom, and it's not as easy to be talking about all the issues all the time, but it seems like that needs to get really smooth, and I think we're another player in helping to just make sure everything comes together well with that too. And it will, you know, get to a point obviously where it will be much smoother, but this is just the beginning, so of course there's a lot of input to be had everywhere. So anyway, They are having meetings that involve that Trish and I are sitting on as well. And Nathan, I don't know if you came to one of those, but it's good. I mean, we can all help to support the process and communicate about it. But I didn't think it could be turned over to just a financial resource right now.
Yeah, it would definitely be a team effort. You would use the accounting firm for the new employee to help track the financial transactions that need to be done. Because there's a functionary aspect to this, just moving money around and that sort of thing that doesn't really require leadership. And then there's the aspect of this where you're participating in the project itself. So I do see a division there. Right now, Pam's doing both. So I would step in on the leadership aspect of that, attending the meetings and things, and we would lean on the accounting firm or our new employee there's a million ways you can handle this, but someone else to help with the financial transaction side of it. Not that I can't do it, but it's just work that, you know, should be very doable for someone who is accustomed to bookkeeping. So there's no point in using my time for that.
Oh, sure. Definitely to have a person do that. Pam, do we have a big part in the planning grant? Isn't that, we don't manage anything with that, do we? We haven't taken a role.
Yeah, we had the same exact role as
we do. I thought that the district had the role.
Well, Lopez is a partner for that one too. But as far as the hospital district, we are the same. We have the same role in that as we do the care coordination grant. It's just that Ann Preston is the project director instead of Evan, and so the network is made up of you know, different people, but we're still the same. And I do both. So
and I attended the planning grant meeting last Friday the 5th.
Yeah,
and we're going to be meeting every 2 weeks.
Yeah,
right now. So yeah. And I guess Ann Preston, she's coordinating that now, sort of in charge of that.
Yeah, she's the actual project director, like Evan is for care coordinator. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ann is for that, but the district still does the same fiscal, and I'm still named on the grant, so we have to move both of them.
The planning grant, it doesn't have any employees though. Does it pay people out? Is there a payroll?
It doesn't have people like Kyle. It's only a 1 year grant, so it ends September 29th, 2021. So it's, you know, it's a mainly focus for this next year, you know, through, but still the district still has to replace and get approval for someone else besides me, because I'm named on it on both of them. So, but the person that you hire for this other role, you know, it would help if they, you know, probably work closely with Nathan and all, you know, to know, and they could also work with Trish and Gail, you know, with what's happening. And then Nathan can step in as much or little as he wants, but we do need to get someone named, and that the permissions changed.
Okay. We'll add that to our list of tasks that need to be managed under this proposal for the new role. And I'm still, we're hiring for an administrative support role, but it encompasses multiple tasks. So we'll just be calling it an administrative support role, but whatever. And then we'll list in the job description all of their responsibilities. So I guess this is an evolving process, and we'll have this firmed up soon.
this person would be like a public records officer, and then like an executive assistant and public hospital district affairs specialist or something like that.
Yeah.
Encompass a few roles. You know, we did look at whether we should hire, say, someone with a bunch of long-term care experience or something like that. But I mean, that's what Evan's role is, right? I mean, he's the one with the expertise who is, I mean, that's why he's there. We don't really need to provide expertise. Mm-hmm. We provide presence, and we're I think we're a money bank, basically. You know, if this project grows and becomes countywide, it's going to be some third party entity that is created that we help fund, but the expertise, you know, we provide for as part of that. I'm not really, sorry, go ahead, Pam.
No. Yeah, we are the money bank for it, but our commissioners, Lindstrom, Lehman and Seitz are part of the network. So they do have oversight of, you know, and will collaborate with the other parts going on with grant, not just the financial piece. So there is a little bit, you know, and it would be important for our commissioners to stay up on those meetings and all. So, and I think that's what they wanted to do from the beginning. So I don't feel like they won't. So
we're clearly key partners in this. There's no doubt, as is Inter Island Healthcare Foundation, the Association of Washington Public Hospital Districts, and who's the last partner?
I think Kyle has his hand up.
Kyle has his hand up.
Can I finish my thought,
oh,
though?
Oh, yes, sorry. I thought you were done.
So, you know, that we're clearly a key partner, right? But this consortium can't function in making decisions with everyone, right? We can't have four organizations with large administrative structures making decisions. Like, the consortium has delegated a person who has the expertise and the experience to build this project, and that's Evan. So I think it'd be redundant for us to hire someone like that. It doesn't mean, though, that we're not involved. It just means we should keep in mind that we're not the ones leading this project. We're clearly participants, though, and partners. I didn't mean to imply otherwise. Okay, I'm done.
Do we want to... Oh, that would be public. Is that public comment, or do we just call on?
Kyle Davies is an employee. If you want to call him, you can call on him.
Well, we do.
Sure.
Thank you all, Madam Chair. I can certainly wait till the end. I just, this conversation is important to me, of course.
Yeah.
I do want to say, I mean, the public hospital district, both or all three, particularly PhD1, is a critical assignment on this grant, and I would think, I mean, I can't think of a specific way at the moment where staff time is necessarily required other than the financial piece, but I want to make a pitch for moving forward. You know, one of the things we're trying to accomplish with the grant is how to figure out outreach care, and I think you've all identified the value of chronic care management and long-range planning for seniors, and working on strategy and design for how to fund things like community paramedicine and this type of outreach long term. So I would make a pitch for having someone for, not that Commissioners Lehman and Lachine Seitz can't be critical parts of this, but I think there is, Pam has made a critical commitment to this long term and was part of the long-term care network from its inception, and offers not just the purse strings, but a lot of input on how this has come to be and how it's moving forward. So that history and that know-how probably can't be replaced, but I'd hate to see the district not consider giving the project some staff time. What that looks like is more up to you, but you know, Evan doesn't, he's not an employee of the district. He's not familiar with the role that EMS plays in this part of long-term care and outreach, and that's pretty invaluable. That was is all I have to say. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't. Thanks for that, Kyle. I don't mean to imply that we shouldn't be involved. Again, we definitely need to be involved. But I don't think we need to spend the full cost of an employee to hire someone with expertise in this field. That's what I'm saying. I think we can get by with myself and a new hire, and we can cover our bases. The expertise will come from Evan, but we definitely need to participate. Yep.
Agreed. And the grant is designed to be a 0.2 position. So, you know, we certainly have the capacity to give energy to that. And I do believe that Commissioners Lachine, Seitz, and Lehman are equally passionate about this topic and project. So I'm really happy that they're involved. I'm grateful.
It's a neat project. It's super exciting. And I know that it never can move fast enough because there's so many people involved in this. And it's a big, big thing. I think COVID has held it back some, but it's very, very exciting.
And it's not the easiest project in the world. Being countywide and creating programs on every island and making them be functional and somewhat similar and able to be evaluated and all kinds of stuff. So it is big, big, especially with this planning part of it, the first steps to building it and making it work succinctly. So it's great. I mean, we all will stay involved. It's not like it's going to get away from us somehow, but just something, just a little footnote and to add to what you're looking for out there. To add to your administrative help, because I do think you're doing a lot, Nathan. You're doing a ton, and I don't expect you to add a lot more to that either. So
it's daunting. No, there's no doubt. I should make one thing clear too. Evan Perales has a contract with Pam and with the district, so we should be clear. Evan is a half-time employee of the district, and he reports to Pam. So his contract is with her, so that is a significant role. And while I don't ever anticipate this would happen, you know, this person has oversight on that position. They can scrap that contract if they wish. I mean, it would certainly impact the HRSA grant, which names Evan personally. I'm not saying we'll do that. I'm just saying we do have responsibilities here. There's no doubt, and it will need attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an easy project, as Gail said. Anytime you add an additional organization, whether it's government or business or whatever, you exponentially increase the difficulty. It's not an easy thing to do to build this project.
I just try to keep in mind that it's a planning grant, and when I feel anxious,
this isn't a planning grant. I mean, the care coordination grant is not a planning grant. That's the one that I'm talking about being, formidable in the undertaking.
Okay. Well, I thank you all. This is, if we don't have further discussion, we do need to take a vote that we intend to make Mr. Butler our superintendent upon Superintendent Hutchins' retirement. And in that would encompass Mr. Butler moving forward with hiring this administrative support role. And it's good that we brought up all of the issues related to the grant and what that is actually going to look like. So if there are no further comments, I would call for a vote that we intend to make Mr. Butler our superintendent upon Superintendent Hutchins' retirement. All in favor?
Aye.
Do we need a second or?
Aye.
We didn't do that.
I don't think so. I'm just calling for a vote to move forward.
Okay, great. Aye. Okay.
Kyle, aye. Did I hear you?
No, I don't think you did. Sorry. I support this approach moving forward. I don't know. Are we extending an offer right now? I'm a little confused on exactly what we're doing. But I fully support the approach that was outlined. Including the concept of having Mr. Butler play the role of his EMS continuing role and then the superintendent role, and then hiring an affairs specialist, which I'm just very excited about that title as well, to help backfill a lot of the PhD responsibilities at that point and grow into that job as well.
Wonderful. Thank you. What this does is it gives Trish and myself permission to move forward to work on a contract for Mr. Butler, and it gives Mr. Butler with Superintendent Hutchins's advisement and support the ability to post for this position that we will be hiring for. So
yeah, I was just concerned about if I'm going to go out and start hiring someone, we need something with some degree of formality saying this is the direction you want to go, but it's just an intention is all that's being stated here. You're not committed to anything. So.
Great. Well, I know that you and Pam have had a close working relationship for a long time, and I trust that you'll be able to carry on in the same manner and the same standards that Pam has provided for our agency. And so I appreciate both of you making this a smooth transition.
Thank you. I appreciate the trust. Try not to screw it up.
I know Pam will always be available to you to answer questions.
I had my second dose of vaccine today, and I'm getting all flushed and sweaty now.
It's probably time for you to go home and rest. I bet it's kicking in. I hear you might feel quite yucky tomorrow.
I'm feeling it. I'm okay though. No one needs to be alarmed. But if my face is starting to look like I am beet red, that's why.
Well, this might be a great time to adjourn the meeting then.
Sorry.
Now it's breaking out in hives or something.
We haven't had public comment tonight. Do we have to have that, or are you going to do that?
I mean, it's a special meeting, and that we're not required to.
Okay.
I'm never opposed to hearing from the public if there's someone there that has something to say.
Yeah, that's a great point, Superintendent Hutchins. So we open the floor if anybody does have anything to say.
Nathan, you can turn your camera off if you need to.
Do I need to?
No, I'm kidding.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said anything.
No, I was wondering. You know, hopefully you won't be feeling too awful tomorrow. It just means it's working. It's working.
I just have that headache coming on and some, you know, definitely. But I'm fine. It's not a big thing. It's, you know, Tuesday, whatever. It's no big deal.
Well, if there aren't any comments from the public, as we always welcome them, I would move to adjourn this meeting. If there's anything further?
Trish, do you have something?
I second that.
It's a record. Okay. All in favor?
Sin no more.
Yes.
All right. Do we adjourn?
Have a good night, everyone.
Okay, thank you, everyone.
All of you.
Take care, Nathan. I hope you're feeling all right.
Yeah.
I'll be fine. Thank you, though.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for your time. Thank you, Pam.
Bye.
Night.
Okay.
Have a good night,
everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good night.